All right, kiddos, come on and join me here.
What, that's all yet? That's it?
That's it today?
Yeah, that's it.
All boys?
Yeah! Yes! Oh, this is so great!
Now we can talk about the girls, right?
Yeah, no, girls! Yes!
Let's start out by talking about y'all's girlfriends.
No, we don't.
No, okay, we're not going to do that. Come on.
I don't know, I'm sorry.
All right, how's y'all's week?
Good.
Good week?
Good.
Everybody?
What happened there?
What? What are you talking about?
What happened right there?
Huh?
What happened right there?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That.
That what?
That.
Well, I don't see anything. What are you talking about? Talking about the ring on my hand?
No. That.
That what?
The Band-Aid.
Band-Aid? What are you talking about?
You can't see it because
Do you see something there?
I do. Right there.
Right there? You know, there is a Band-Aid there.
The Bandy brand?
And,
But look, story in the Bible.
I got a bridge.
And underneath it, y'all can peek in here. I don't want to gross you out too bad, but since we're all boys here today. Look at there. What do you see?
Blood.
Oh, yuck.
Is it the Wolverine do it? Because I see claws.
No, Miss Audrey didn't bite me.
No Wolverine.
I had a little accident last night, and I cut my hand pretty good. Now, just a moment ago, I was ignoring what y'all said. It was obvious to y'all that I had a problem, right?
Yeah.
That something was wrong with me.
So you didn't want to tell it?
And I just didn't want to admit it.
Is there a Bible story?
Yes, there is a Bible story that goes along with that. Because in the Bible, it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
I've heard that before, too.
Yes, you have. That's one of y'all's memory verses that you're learning in Kids Zone. I know you have. And I'll come and wake you up in the middle of the night and see if you can quote it.
What?
But that verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I could treat God the same way that I was treating y'all just a moment ago about the sin in my life. I could say, oh no, Lord, I don't have any sin in my life. There's nothing, I don't need you, and yet it's plain to everybody that I need. It's plain that I had something wrong with me. Just like it's plain to God and to everyone else that we have a need in our lives, that we've done wrong and we need forgiveness. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. Why did he die on the cross?
Because he saved us from our sins.
So that he could take all of our sin upon himself. And be our Savior and bring His healing to our soul.
And
He was buried, and 3 days later, what happened?
He rose from the dead.
He rose from the dead. It meant He had the victory.
Done.
And you know what I'm counting on the Lord to do for my hand in just a few days? That it'll be healed. That's right. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings to us. I thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. I pray you'll bring this scripture, Romans 3:23, to our remembrance today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kids Zone. Over the last several weeks, we have been we've been looking at this theme of hearing God, hearing from God. Have any of you needed to hear God's voice this week? Anybody? Yeah. As you pray and you seek Him, you seek His face, you ask Him to speak to you. Well, we've been talking about the Ark of the Covenant. And for weeks now, we've been talking about that, how the Israelites used it as a good luck charm. as then the Philistines got a hold of it, and God was speaking to them. He was speaking His word to them, and they were refusing to listen to. And finally, after years, after a couple of decades, God does indeed get the attention of the Israelites, and they return to Him, and we see a repentance that comes in their heart. We see a change in their lives, and things are different. They're not perfect, but they're different. In the midst of this, as we've been talking about the ark, I thought it would be good for today, because of the timeliness of where we are on the calendar right now, to remind you of what this weekend has been. Do you know what feast on the Jewish calendar was just celebrated? Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. John, if you'll bring up that first slide. I hope you can see this. I want to do today to put this in context for you, what we've been talking about, so you can understand about the feast and the ark and just what all that the Lord is doing. Now, we've taught on this before. It's been some time back. And I refer to this all the time. Here is the annual Jewish calendar. And if you go back to the book of Leviticus, you're looking in chapter 23, you'll see there an outline of the feast of Israel. Seven feasts of Israel. Now, on this side, on the left side, God did a great job of outlining this. Here are the months of the year, and here are the three feasts that took place. In fact, up through the fourth one, all four of these feasts, Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, and Pentecost, have already been fulfilled in Scripture. And just review. Remember at the Passover, the death angel in the book of Exodus, the story there, as they pass over all the homes who have what? On their doorpost and lintel? The blood of the Lamb. So the death angel passes over. Jesus is our Passover. We have in these three feasts that were fulfilled right there together with His death, Passover, unleavened bread, His burial, and His resurrection, first fruits. All three of them fulfilled in the first coming of Jesus. When the Messiah came the first time as the suffering servant. Remember, he comes with that humility. Making sense so far? Okay. Then at Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, we see the Holy Spirit comes. The Spirit of God, who is the very Spirit of Christ Himself. And we see, so on God's calendar, these four have all taken place. But we come around and there are three more feasts. What about them? What about the other three? Now, does God ever say anything in this book that is not true? Does He ever predict anything that is not going to happen? Of course not. He's God. And He's going to bring it all to fulfillment. I.e., good example of that, all the people who hundreds of years, I can show you the texts of people who made fun of the fact, oh, the Jews will never get a homeland again. They will never have a place to come back to. Oop, we got to eat that now. 1948, what happens? The miracle of miracles happens for them. They get this homeland. So, and we're seeing right now, we're seeing this book come alive. I started studying prophecy when I was just a kid, and still study the prophetic books, the things that, and there's so much in the Scripture, and there's so much that was a shadow to me then. But as we're living and as we're seeing things fulfilled more and more each day, it's filling in the blanks and it's making more sense than it ever has before. Can y'all see that in your own life? Can you see the Word of God coming alive for you? Not being some nut or some scripture Nazi out there, but someone who is living out the life of Christ in this world, because He came the first time as the suffering servant. But what did He promise? What did they say when they went out there and the angels speak to His disciples and they see Him ascending in heaven? What were they told that time? Remember? In the same way that you see Him leaving, He's coming back. So we live with that, and that's what Gary was referring to earlier, that blessed hope of His soon return. Now, when He comes back again, He's not going to come back on the back of a donkey. He's going to come back just as He left from the Mount of Olives. He's going to return, and He's going to walk through that eastern gate of Jerusalem. It's going to happen. Physically, that's going to happen. We know that. Take it to the bank. God doesn't stutter. So, and when He comes back, He's going to return as the conquering King. And in fact, He's going to come back and set up His kingdom on this earth and show us how it's supposed to have been done. He's going to fulfill. He's going to put it all back right. Because He's God. He's Lord of all. Now, but there are three feasts that have yet to be fulfilled. These, what we call them, the fall feasts. Rosh Hashanah, trumpets, Yom Kippur, Atonement, Day of Atonement, and Sukkot, Tabernacle, or the Feast of Booths. Now, it's like from this time here when the fourth feast was fulfilled, it's kind of like we went into kind of a delay, if you will, a pause. It's like the Lord put a pause on it. But remember, He's looking at it as the panorama of history. He's looking at all of it through the eyes of eternity. So the Scripture says, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day to the Lord. So, I want you to see that doesn't mean that God has been asleep at the wheel. What it does mean is that we can, because He has fulfilled these, we can, to the letter, to the day, on the day that He said it would happen. Same is going to be true of these. As He comes back, the Feast of Trumpets, generally speaking, we've talked about, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this today, I'm going to look at Atonement, but the Feast of Trumpets, the Rosh Hashanah, sounding out the warning. Let me tell you, that's coming a time, real soon when God is going to sound out that warning to the earth. I used to read the book of the Revelation years ago, and I'd think, well, the evil one, it just looks like he's in charge. No. I was looking at it through the wrong eyes. God's in charge. And God is bringing judgment. He's going to bring judgment to the earth. And He's going to trumpet that. There will be a warning to us. Now, then, through His judgment, He is going to put things right. And that's what atonement means. Now, turn with me, if you will, to, if you have your Bible, to the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, verse 26. Now, he's described the other five feasts. Now, we come down to the sixth one, which is atonement. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 26, on exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. Let's stop there for just a moment. So, you trumpet that, you bring in Rosh Hashanah, and there is a call for these days of what they call the days of awe, as they get ready to come to the atonement. Because once a year, the high priest, let's read it here, says, which is the Day of Atonement, it shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord, and you shall not do any work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. Now, John, go on to the next slide, if you want. So, at this time, you know, before the Israelites had a temple in Jerusalem, they had this mobile tabernacle. Now, I'll go through at another time. I'm not going to go through and show you all the different parts of it and explain all that. We don't have time for that today. But I want you to see the Ark of the Covenant. You ever seen the Ark of the Covenant? Where is it right now? Yeah, I figured I could trick you into saying that. Of course. But it's amazing how many people even know about the Ark of the Covenant because of the movie. But there really is one. Once a year, the high priest would go through this veil. They'd tie a rope on his ankle in case he did it wrong, and they had to drag him out of there. Is there an example in the Scripture of guys that did it wrong? That's right. And bang, bang, you're dead. So, and he would go in and he would make sacrifice for himself and his family. He would go in again and he would make sacrifice for the nation of Israel of all unconfessed sin. It is the Day of Atonement. And I love what one of our old pastors from years ago, he preached this. He said, break up the word atonement at one meant, where you would become at one with the Lord, where there would be repentance. They would spend the day, that Day of Atonement, they would spend it in fasting, considering their ways, and in repentance. And he would take one of those goats and would be slain, or that bullock, and it would be slain there on the altar. One goat on the altar, and then another, he would come out and he would lay his hands on the other goat, and he would send that goat out into the wilderness, showing not only that God covers your sin, but he removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. Two beautiful, beautiful pictures. Now, one story I read that after Jesus came, now they would put a little red thread around the goat's neck. After Jesus came and died on the cross, you had several decades before 70 AD where they're still doing sacrifice. They said that when they put that red thread around the goat's neck, that when they sent it out, it would turn white. I can't validate that story altogether, but what a beautiful picture of what Jesus does for us. Or he covers our sin. So on that one day, the Day of Atonement, the sin of the entire nation would be taken care of. All unconfessed sin dealt with. Now, what does that mean to us today? Back up to the other screen. Yeah. What does that mean to us today? Well, did Jesus fulfill that, any of that feast when he came the first time? Yes, he did. Because he does that for us personally. When God sets up his kingdom today, where does he set up his kingdom? In our hearts. Paul gives a great picture of that when he says, when he talks about your body is the temple, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. And so this is like when he came the first time, this is like a down payment for what he's going to fulfill for the whole earth, and especially for Israel. Because you see, Israel as a whole has not yet come to this time where they've embraced their Messiah. But there's coming a day when they will. They will embrace him. That Israel will be saved. They will come in. And we're seeing that happen right now. We're seeing Jews begin to soften to the gospel. We're seeing this throughout the earth. I mean, how many Jewish believers were there when you were a kid? Did you know? How many do you know today? Hey, I saw a thing on the news. One of the Christian broadcasting news reports, they said that in the nation of Israel today, that there are at least 10,000 Jews that have professed faith in the Messiah, Jesus. Now, let me tell you, the rabbis don't want you to know that. they don't want that information to get out. But just as an example to see what God is doing. Now, when he fulfills this, the future atonement, as he comes back to the earth, he's going to put it all together. And we're going to see both the Gentile branch, those who have been adopted in, that's us. And we're going to see the branch of his chosen people who will embrace him as Messiah. And there is going to be this at one mint as they're both reconciled unto God. He is going to fulfill it. He's going to fulfill it in our lives. Then, the Feast of Tabernacles, which I believe is a celebration, a picture of him setting up his kingdom on this earth, that he will live with us. What's one of the names Jesus was called? He's called Emmanuel. And what does that mean? God with us. One of the things that we experience, we get a little picture today of what it's going to be like to be with him and fellowship with him in the ecclesia, in the church, in the body that he has called out of the world. And he's called us out, ek meaning out of, klesia, called out ones who gather together. We're the body of Christ as we gather together. And there are some times when we're worshiping, there are some times when we're together, we don't want to stop. We feel like if I just took one more step, I'd be in heaven. You felt like that sometime? I remember one time, years and years ago, when I was in seminary. Kathy and I were in seminary. Well, I shouldn't say that. They'll know how old you are. Oh, I remember one Sunday night, I can't explain it. We were having worship in your average Baptist church, and we were just singing and singing, and all of a sudden something got a hold of me. And I mean, I felt like I was gonna fly out of that place. I felt like the Lord was just gonna swoop me out of there just then. The Lord gives us those pictures. He gives us those experiences that keep us coming back. All right, so when he fulfills this, he's going to move this experience from it being just this limited body to the whole earth of those who have come into his kingdom. What a blessing that is going to be. Can you see then how He's going to fulfill all of it in His time. First John chapter 2 says this. Verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. For He Himself became... What word do you have there in your Bible? Huh? Atoning? The atoning sacrifice? Somebody else have another word? Sacrifice that atones? Anybody have that P word? Or are you afraid to pronounce it? Blah, 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 blah. Propitiation, which means the atoning sacrifice, the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. That's a prophetic statement. Now listen to me. What does this mean to us today? As we stand here and we're listening to God, what did it mean here that a few moments ago I happened to just choose that verse, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? What is the one thing that keeps you out of heaven? What is the one thing that stands between you and a relationship with God? What is the one thing that stands between you and deliverance and all that God has in store for you? What is that that stands in between? It is sin. It is sin. Anything that is displeasing to God, things that you omit to do, you should have done, things that you did, things that you committed. It's an attitude of the heart. It is a blockade. And it is a stain upon mankind. We look in the garden and see what happened. When sin entered in, what happened with Adam and Eve? What happened to their fellowship with the Father? Broken. And they're out of the garden. They're cast out. I'm here to tell you today, God is going to restore that experience. He's going to bring it all back to His original design for us. He can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's why we preach a simple gospel. A gospel that says Jesus died in our place on a cross. He is our advocate. He is our bridge. He makes us right. I'm not right. I'm not righteous because of things that I do. I am washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. It is because what He has done for me. And by faith, I receive Him. Does this make sense to you? I've just overviewed the whole Bible for you today. I hope you see how it fits on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. Do you know what that was? What do they call it? The mercy seat. We are coming to Him and we're crying, mercy, Lord, humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves before Him. Jesus is our substitute. So who should we be listening to today? Are you listening to His voice to you? All the signs of the earth point to one thing. When you look at all the stuff that's happening in the earth, what does it point toward? Surely our Lord is coming quickly. He's coming. That's what it all... Now, as Rick spoke this morning, we're not about, get your white sheet, load up your credit cards, you know, cash out everything, get out to the hill. Well, we don't have one around here. But find you one and go out there and wait. No, that's not what he's calling us to do. That's not it. We've got to be busy about the Father's business of redemption, of buying people back, of sharing that good news. As our redemption draws nigh, he's calling on us to share this good news with a world that is separated from him. Never in my lifetime has the difference between God and not God been so stark. Can I get a witness on that? Every day, the difference is there. And you're showing people the good news by your life, by what you do, by what you say. Have you adopted his timetable for your life? Let me give you an example of that. What's behind that question? Years ago, before Audrey and I had children, I had this dream. It was a daytime dream. It was a dream that came out of my own powers of deduction. And I said, you know, when I have children, and, we're going to be on time for things. And when I say, hey, it's time for us to go, everybody's going to get in the car and we're going to go there. And y'all are laughing at me. What are you? And we're going to be on time. And guess what? Guess what? I found out that everybody wasn't on my timetable, including the woman that is one flesh with me. Well, I found out that everybody had a different timetable. And when everybody's got a different timetable, what happens? And there's confusion. I want you to hear this because I believe this is a word of God for you today. Whose timetable are you on with the way you're living your life right now? Whose timetable? Are you on this one? God's time clock? Are you saying, Dusty, Jesus come back tomorrow? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is he's coming back and we better get ready and we better get busy. Busy about the Father's business and about aligning our lives with him and what he's doing in the earth. The other night I was at a meeting, a Christian meeting, a lot of folks were there. This lady comes up to me and she stands right in front of me. She's smiling. She's about 5 feet tall. She's standing there looking at me, smiling. And I said, and I'm getting nervous now. And I'm saying, can I help you? She said, you don't remember me, do you? Ma'am, I'm sorry. You got to help me out. What I found out as she told the story was that she said, I first thought I recognized you because your name. My daughter was just telling me you gave her a Bible. Yeah, like 30 years ago. And she said, I knew, and it meant a lot to her to receive that. And we got to talking some more, and I said, well, where do you live? And she said, and then this look gets over her face, and she realized she'd come up there to tell me about her daughter. What she remembered was she was in a Bible study that I taught in a town near here for over a year when I was in college. She had forgotten that. I want to say to you today, don't discount anything that God is doing. It may be 40 years from now that it might bear fruit. Remember my cousin that we baptized, my aunt, my 84-year-old aunt, and my two cousins that we baptized? Here, he called me the other night. He said, me and my girlfriend are going through this Experiencing God book together. They live in different states. They're doing it over the phone. And he said, would it be okay if my son calls you because he just accepted Jesus in his life? Man, I just can't tell you what that does to me. To see God bearing fruit of investment decades ago. I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you today. Get on God's time clock for your life. What has He got for you? Claire's about to go to East Africa. What's God saying to you? That's all I got to say. We'd like to get your offering today. If you brought that, if you brought a card today, if you need to pray with one of the pastors, we'll be available afterwards today. But what's the question you're going to leave here with? Whose timetable are you on today? What time clock are you living by? Okay? Got it? Good. Goodbye.